Okay, Sharon, would you please determine a quorum?
Nellis.
Here?
John Greenberg.
Wrong year.
Wrong people.
Meg Lister.
Here.
Sarah Holmgrave. Megan Lister.
Here.
Cheryl File.
Here.
Okay, four of the board members are here. We do have a quorum. Would you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, the next thing is approval of the agenda. There are some things on the consent agenda. Does anybody want to pull any of those off? Are they okay with those? Do I have a motion to approve the agenda? Without Sarah here, we're going to have new people making motions.
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
And then can I second that? Is that the standard protocol? Okay.
Yes.
All right, I second.
Okay, motion has been made and seconded to approve the agenda. All in favor of approving the agenda, please signify by saying aye.
Oh, it's
roll call. Okay, roll call, please.
Megan Lister?
Here.
Jay Lister?
Here.
Cheryl File?
Yes.
Dean Ellis?
Aye. Student representative report? We don't have one this summer. Correspondence? I don't know if the one letter that you wrote to the commissioner about the health thing was considered correspondence.
In the summer,
or?
Well, it's the second time we've
done
it.
Oh, okay. Anyway, there's a letter that Dr. Thomason wrote to the commissioner of the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services concerning the issue of who does the health exams for the children going into entering school. And we're asking for permission for our district nurse to do it. We wrote a letter to them last year and didn't hear anything back. So hopefully we'll get a little more response this year. Oh, comments from audience unrelated to agenda items? Comments from audience related to agenda items? So we'll take them up under those items. Comments from board members. Well, my comment from the board member is this is Dr. Thomason's last meeting. And I actually did make a little cake, and so we're going to have that at some point. Chocolate, because I know he likes chocolate. And I don't know if this will be his last meeting ever as a superintendent, but it might be.
I'll try to address that question in my superintendent report. The answer is probably yes.
Okay, and Sarah Holmgren is joining us. And now we have the consent agenda. Can I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I motion to approve the consent agenda.
I second it.
Sorry.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Sharon, would you please call the roll?
Cheryl File?
Yes.
Megan Lister?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Administrative reports, Superintendent.
Well, we have no principal's reports because school is out, and we decided to give them the night off on that one. But I will let the board know that the year's end was outstanding. Principals and their staffs, the teachers and the kids, oftentimes at the end of the year can become quite unwieldy. It was probably the smoothest closing, given what we had going on with the elementary construction and travel and baseball and all the excitement. Closing of the schools went off without a hitch. I just can't be more proud of everybody. It was nobody, we always got to go, okay, everybody was safe, everybody was, nobody got hurt, everything is good. So kudos to the staff, to the principals and the kids and the community.
And it was more than just everybody was safe. They did a nice job. So
outstanding job.
No, that's what I thought I heard you say.
Outstanding job. Yes. Yep. As you know, the elementary school was out a week early in order to allow the construction company, which we'll hear a great report from Marty here, to do their job. And It was quite amazing to walk into the elementary building near the second to last day of school and be stepping over the paint hoses to get to the to the principal's office. It was just, stuff was going on a lot, and it was exciting. It was, you could just see progress happening. A second thing I would like to bring the board up to speed on was didn't have a chance to meet with the board, but the recreation department under the leadership of Donnie Hayes submitted an RFP, a request for proposal for new digital controls for the heating system at the recreation department. Originally, several years ago, they had done an RFP that came in at about $75,000. This is going to be approximate because I don't remember the exact numbers. This one came in at about $137,000. And so, based on the authority you have delegated to me to figure out what needs to be done, I wrote a letter to the assembly suggesting that the $50,000 that had been allocated to concrete replacement could be moved over to the digital controls for the recreation department. The reason we would be interested in that is because that recreation department system is connected or runs off of the school district system, our boilers. We actually pay for the oil. And the two systems do not communicate. Theirs is a pneumatic system. Ours is a digital system. And so with the recreation department, it's basically all or none. And so it's very inefficient and wasting oil. So the concrete, in my opinion and Dan Tate's opinion, I consulted with him, was, yeah, the concrete, although deteriorating, has serviceable for another year. This is an immediate thing that will start paying dividends if we're able to do that. The assembly met last night. I've not heard of it out on the water today. So I don't know what decision came out of that. It's can you, Cheryl, can you give me an update?
I was on the radio all day.
Oh.
I believe they approved it.
Yeah? Okay, yeah, thank you. I just got back in.
Well, ask the radio.
So, yeah, thank you.
The newspaper.
So, in case you were surprised by the discussion of the assembly or the news reports, that's how that came to pass. And I apologize for not getting it to you sooner. It was... I was asked for the letter like Wednesday or Thursday of last week and just had to get it done. And so we just elected that seemed like a wise decision. I guess they're doing it that way. All right. Those are the two main things I had, other than, again, reiterate the kudos to staff and kids. And thank you. And thank you to the board for a great 5 years in board and staff and community, a great 5 years in Petersburg. It's been a highlight of my career. It truly has. As my wife and I have reminisced and said, we only wish we'd have found this opportunity 10 years sooner. So,
but we wish you had two, but that's okay.
But it's been good, and I think the district is in good hands with the principals and the director of finance and the activities director. You've got a great leadership team. We've got an experienced superintendent coming in, and I anticipate nothing but good. So thank you.
Thank you. All right, maintenance report, Marty Susort, Alaska Commercial Contractors. I have one of these in front of me. I don't know if everybody does.
No, I just handed out three of them.
Do you have one? What's this?
Sure.
What's this?
Not my
something
first
else.
Page.
Okay.
So to the radio audience, I handed out a daily report that I read to the board members here that I send into my boss every day. And... once a week, we send all six of them to the architects, and they pass them on to the building inspectors and anybody else who's interested. And it just has pictures and descriptions of short descriptions of the work that we've done that during the day. So everybody's aware of how the project is going at a pretty reasonable and regular basis. And we've been doing well. Things have been going on schedule, and the framing crew got quite a few windows in yesterday on the back side of the building. It isn't, you have to drive around back to see them. So, but I'm pretty pleased with the way the crews are working. And of course, we all have to do things in order. One group has to do their share before the next ones can get in line. In this case, the framers have to get the walls done so I can sheetrock it. And then the plumbers have to get in and hang the heat system. And then, the carpet layers have to get in, and that's all coming on in the future. And we're looking forward to a smooth system here. So I'm pleased with the crews that we have, and there's 18 guys on the or 15 guys on the job today. So things are happening pretty quick, and I'm running around in circles trying to figure out what I'm doing right now. You know, so it's fun. But.
Great. So, any questions?
For those of you who don't know me, I've lived here since 1981. I was born here in 1951, and I learned my trade in Seattle. And it's a pleasure to be working on the school that my grandchildren are going to school in, and my daughters both went to school there. So it's we're looking forward to leaving a good project behind us.
Well, it's great to have local people involved. We're very happy about that.
Thank you.
Your grandchildren will be warm.
It will be much warmer than it was.
Yes.
No doubt about that.
And all the photos you send to us, for those that are listening or for members here, on the website, on the left-hand side, we have an ongoing slideshow, and we try to get the latest photos in there. So you just kind of see the progress. It's kind of very impressive. And I don't know, Erica, do you have anything you want to add to his?
Well, as you alluded to, that kind of craziness was, they've been awesome to work with, and they've been really respectful of, you know, still trying to teach and have things going on and still having walls coming down at the same time. And I mean, it's...
That goes two ways. Erica really had her team mobilized to move out of the building so we could get an early start, and everybody can see that that was very helpful to us. Mm-hmm. So it's nice having it going both directions.
Sweet.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Marty.
Director of Finance, Karen Quislin.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry, Cheryl?
Question.
This is for the maintenance. Did you guys notice the sign up?
Yes.
Yeah.
For Dan Tan Tate, and I can't remember his name. Putting the sign up there. It looks awesome.
It looks great.
Just wanted to. That was awesome. Yeah. And since you guys aren't talking, I'm going to say something about the baseball.
Sweet.
They did an awesome job. It was just great. Jim Engel did it awesome. It was great.
It was very exciting.
It was very exciting. Very excited.
They outperformed themselves.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah. And they
exceeded expectations.
They did farther than they expected. And all the people there are very excited. That's all I can say.
And the mother of a player was particularly.
Yeah, I was excited.
Two
I wish
I was there.
Your voice from being hoarse from screaming.
But they had a great time.
It was good. It was very good. I have to admit, we did get a email. Did you get that email from the coach complimenting the behavior?
Oh, yes.
Would you mind speaking to that real quickly? Sorry, Karen. Thanks for bringing that up.
So
was,
much for not
a
having
wonderful
them.
Email.
Yeah. No, yeah, baseball is doing really good there. My phone was blowing up from all the Sitkins who were singing our Viking song in their head. And they're going, oh, we're singing the song. I go, I bet you are there. And they're all Sitka Wolves people, so. And then battle cry going on. Joe Tompkins, who is a coach at Thunder Mountain High School, and he is, you've probably seen him when he's here for baseball, and he was here for juniors. He's in a wheelchair and got into an accident, but he's also on the United States Paralympic ski team. He got to go to Sochi and everything and got into a pretty good wreck in Sochi. But anyways, his credentials are pretty darn good and very well respected in the community of Juneau. And he just made a wonderful email about how well Coach Engel and the boys played and how they represented Petersburg. And we should all be very proud of them and what they did there. So it was a very, very nice email from him. And I think he even went on Petersburg Buy, Sell, and Trade and also put that on there, too. So really, really nice guy. And I know my little one likes him because Tavin got a free ride from him around the ballpark. Wheeling around, so Tavin was loving it. But great guy, very motivational speaker as well, so very well-respected man around Southeast. So,
thanks, Jamie.
Yeah,
it's always nice to get those. And we get many, many, many more complimentary letters, emails, and phone calls than people complaining about a problem. And it's not always the case in other communities, so.
It's wonderful. It's a real testimony to our students and our
staff.
Exactly.
Totally.
Rick.
Can I comment on the sign, too?
I already asked Karen's permission to cut in front of her again.
Well, Aaron, you can talk about, she just talked about the building.
That's
so
right.
Just,
everybody has
to just. It was just great. It was like,
no, it's great, isn't it? Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It was.
Yeah, so the marquee sign, again, we've really been working on it since I think, I when I first got here, I started with, I said this on the radio, and I was looking, you're looking up, and it rains sometimes, and you're looking up, and it's a sticky, and they fall off, and you're looking into the rain, and it's, and I, you know, after a while, as you notice, I just stopped using it, because you'd get them up there, and then they would fall through. They were craps. Cracks in there. That sounded terrible, but it falls through. And I think it's Dick Montgomery who got that going. And, you know, that's a great, it was a great sign. It just was at the end of its age. So I wanted, and probably for the board, and especially the public, to know that the money for that came from graduating classes mostly. It was a graduating class 2010, 11, 12, and 13. And we are working on some sign recognition to put up there. We've told those classes. So the majority of funds came from that, and the majority of our piece, as well as just a little bit extra from yearbook ads. So the community really, again, supports. We thought that seemed a good way to kind of advertise school events by using some of the yearbook ads they'd been selling. So that's where our financial piece came from the school district. And, of course, we have such a great relationship with Northern Nights Theater, and, you know, many of our students work there, and they, of course, split the cost with us as well. And then we just, as you can see, by looking at it, we have an agreement that we'll split time, and, you know, they get their movie up, which is very good, and then we can put up our announcements, and that's great, too. So, and then, of course, Dan Tate and Rance McIntosh put a lot of time into getting it, and they had to solve the pole and make a new mount for it and get everything going and figure it out. But anyway, it's been a lot of people involved, and I did want to mention just where the money came from, because it wasn't just we were throwing money at new projects. The kids really wanted something new up there, too, because they're proud of it. So.
Well, and yeah. You mentioned that you can't program it from afar, but it's still very simple to do.
Right, yeah, we have a little computer, and you just do it, and it's a pretty easy program. They've already been training one of the Hagerman boys on it and getting going on it, and I've done it. And you put it just on a flash drive now, because we would have had to pay for Ethernet service to be able to, and they don't have a Bluetooth capability or anything. And so we actually got the sign was a little bit cheaper also, and they just take this, and you plug it in, and it really takes about 30 seconds. It's pretty slick. Just plug it in, you stand there, and it says a word about programming, and then you pull it out and you get back in your car. So much, much better than a half an hour, 45 minutes sometimes. You're trying to put each letter up and they're falling. And so it's great from our end, but I hope it's neat for the community. And already a few people, I'm sure you've heard two people said, hey, that's great. Hey, can I have one? You know, kind of stuff. So very exciting.
Thank you.
It's very nice.
Okay, anybody else?
Okay.
Any more comments? Okay, Director of Finance, Karen Quislin.
I was thinking the same thing.
Well, I don't actually have too much to report, but I do want to thank Robin publicly for her time at the school district and wish her well. Her last day was Friday. We had a nice little luncheon for both her and Rob. And, you know, every time I come up here, I say it's really busy in the office. Well, you know what? It's exceptionally busy right now because May, we have to reconcile all the contracts. We reconcile all the payroll deductions. Remaining personal days are paid out that are based on the negotiated agreements, and extra duty contracts are closed. Mid-June, we run three payrolls. The first payrolls for our classified staff and our certified staff, and the next two payrolls, which are done actually in the same day or the following day, are to pay out our certified staff. Then I'm going to run one more payroll next week for our 12-month district employees. Let's see, what else am I doing? I'm in the midst of the fourth quarter grant reports. I'm working on getting the preliminary audit documents prepped. They all have to be sent before the end of this month, closing out the purchase orders and wrapping up some last-minute purchases. And Sharon McKay is helping me right now, which has been great, and I want to thank her for that. So what's up next is vacation. I'm going to be out of the office the 26th of June through July 6th. And then when I return, I'm going to start training our new assistant for my office. So July will be busy with that, getting ready for the audit again, and placing the orders for the upcoming school year. And then lastly, I wanted to share with the board and the public some exciting news about our procurement program. So about a year ago, you all passed a resolution for us to start this procurement program, which is basically a fancy name for a credit card that earns interest to the school district. Our purchases from September to March earned us $4,937, and we just received that check. So pretty proud of the program and what it's been doing for our school district. Right now we have six users that have their individual cards, and I'm going to add eight more this summer. So, yep.
Very
any questions?
No.
Okay.
Thank you. Upcoming dates and media announcements. Okay, July 4th is a holiday. August 4th through 8th, the auditors will be in the district with Karen. August 11th, we do not have a board meeting in July. That's the one month of the year when we do not have a regular board meeting. But no one's excited about that. August 11th is the time that we are going to work on setting the board agenda for August, and that will be our first time to work with Dr. Lisa Stroh on an agenda. Who would like to help me? It's the president and one other person. And it's, well, we, yeah. We probably could work, we generally do it about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I was just talking to Jay about, that because of his work schedule, he's not able to do things as much during the day as some of the times we've done in the past. So we can make sure that a lot of our things are more available during the evening. But the problem is some of our things are more in the daytime because they're working with staff. And so that's sort of the way it is.
So what is that? What are you doing?
What do you do? You go in there and we talk about what do we want on the agenda. Sharon actually has, there's like a list of things that come up that are what we can might put on the agenda for that month. They covers the whole year. So she puts those on there and any other things that we've talked about that we're going to put to the next meeting. It's pretty simple, but it's kind of an opportunity to talk about what things you might like to see discussed at the board meeting. If you have anything especially you want to discuss, it's a good place to get it on there. And what normally what we've been doing it like about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the Monday the week before the board meeting. And if nobody wants to say they're going to do it right now. What?
Go ahead and put my name down.
Okay, Cheryl.
It's fine. I don't have my calendar, but the 11th is a Monday.
The 11th should be a Monday. Is the 11th a Monday?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I'd like to participate just to kind of know. Can I be an extra person just to listen?
Well, we can't have three. But
we can't. Oh, because of the, yeah.
Yeah.
But you can go ahead if you want.
I don't know how helpful I'd be.
Oh, you'll be fine.
I didn't know what I was doing when I did it.
Okay.
So go ahead.
Okay, we'll change over to Megan. And then if you can't do it, we'll get back a hold of Cheryl. Okay. She'll be the follow-up.
Thank you.
I will be out of town the 28th to the 4th of June, 28th to the 4th of July, just so you know.
Okay. I don't think we're going to be doing anything
just
in that time frame.
I already told you.
June 28th? Yeah. And then the Campus Connection would be August 19th. Which is the Tuesday of our board meeting, and that's at noon at KFSK.
At 12:30. I should probably sign up since I couldn't make it this week. I'll do it. Hopefully I won't get caught at work.
I'll do it with Sarah.
Cheryl.
She says happily.
Okay. And
give me
then
a little time and I'll do it. So you guys get a few more months.
Yeah.
Before we make you.
Oh, no, Joe's really good. He will pull stuff out of you, even though you don't want to talk.
I could talk.
Okay, and then the thing that's on the calendar next is the Tech Boot Camp, which is August 22nd and 25th. Is that a Friday and a Monday? And I actually went to that last year. It was very interesting. It's really designed for the new teachers or people that want to come up to speed, but it's about technology. And I felt like as a board member, I'm listening to all this smart board stuff, and I'm just not smart. And so I thought that it would be helpful to go, and it was. It was a little over my head, some of it, but it also gave me insight into what they were doing. So it's happening, and the other thing is that one could say go on Friday, like Jay could maybe go to some things on Friday and not go on Monday. I think the way it was set up, that almost would be more helpful because I think the first section was more informational. The second section was more hands-on for the teachers, and so I wasn't as able to do that because I wasn't a teacher and I didn't want to take away time from the people that really needed the hands-on with the teachers.
John Painter and staff actually put that together and plan it, and it's designed such that people can participate in portions, and I strongly would invite and encourage board members just to drop in, even if you can't stay all day, come for 45 minutes just to sort of see what's going on and get a feel for the technology in the district. And you don't even announce or tell us or anything, just come on in and find a staff member and see what room, and they'll point you in the right direction, because it is really quite exciting, the stuff that's going on.
Well, on August 27th and 29th is staff development, mm-hmm. so that's a staff in service of some type. Mm-hmm. I haven't done so much recently, but years ago I used to go to all of the workshops, and I found them very informative and helpful. Sometimes, you know, as I said, they're aimed really at somebody, they might have a computer that I don't have, but it's still interesting way you can find out a lot about what's happening at a school by going to those things.
Staff development in those areas, Rick Dormer and Erica with the professional development team are putting together the events for those days. Some of it is the state required learning modules we have to do. Some of it is around PBIS, which is our positive behavior interventions and supports, and some of it is around RTI response to instruction. And we have a real focus there, and it's one of the board's goals on the strategic plan. So again, you can just drop in. Do you want to add anything to those days? It's still being fleshed out, but was that accurate?
Yeah. We're doing math.
They're doing math, I'm sorry, yeah. The new math adoption, that's correct. Thank you for reminding me. Yeah.
We've got that one full day we're doing to man training, the first piece, which is mostly de-escalation, typically. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people think of man just the holds and that kind of stuff. There will be that piece for a few of the special education and city fried out the bill, but that's a good chunk of it, as well as the regular required pieces that we're going through.
So some portions of it will be something more that we're interested
totally.
In, some will be less.
Yeah. Yeah. What's exciting about what is happening is staff has been talking about this and planning for it now, and they'll be ready totally when August comes. And you know, it's just exciting that we all are ahead of the curve in terms of being ready. It just feels good, doesn't it? Yeah.
Well, the other thing is that our August 19th meeting will be prior to this, so mm-hmm. that will be an opportunity to have another look at what might be sure. happening that we might want to be involved in. And then the August 29th, which I believe is a Friday, is this back-to-school luncheon? Does that work with, I see both principals nodding their heads?
You can do it all week long.
The one thing that I don't know if we tell people when you get appointed or elected to the school board is you get to cook a couple times a year. And one of the cooking opportunities is the luncheon for the staff at the very beginning of school. And actually, I've been getting a lot of help from Kirkland the last few years. And that's been working out quite nicely with Kirkland lasagnas. So between Kirkland, Hammer, and Weekons, we've been not been too much work. And September 1st is holiday, must be Labor Day. And September 2nd is the first day of school for students.
Wow, there we are.
There we go.
Here we are.
Yeah. Okay, old business. Language arts textbooks and related materials, grades 6 to 12. And a couple of our members took them home and looked them over a little bit. And this, so I'd like a motion, and then we can discuss this a little bit.
I make a motion to approve grade 6 through 12 collections by Houghton Milfen Harcourt Language Arts Textbooks and Related Materials.
Okay, then, second.
I'll second it.
Okay, motion has been made and seconded. Is there discussion? I think the committee that came before us last time did a good job of checking out the options. And as Megan commented, looking at some of the English things, I know that I looked at it and went, oh, I could probably use that.
Can I comment?
Yes.
Yeah,
please.
They incorporate a lot of technology and, you know, more modern media, and definitely seems modern, and it was good. It was a little overwhelming. Yeah, I thought, wow, I could use some vocabulary help, but I like them.
It tells you where to put the semicolon.
I didn't even get there. I kind of got sucked into some vocabulary words, actually. Grammar.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is this spending money, Sharon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jane Lister?
Yes.
Megan Lister?
Yes.
Sarah
yes.
Cheryl
Miles?
Yes.
Jean Ellis?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. New business, FY14 budget revision, Karen Quislin. And I put paper copies in front of us all, too.
So I am going to focus on page 2, which is the summary page. You have the other pages to look through if you so desire.
Page 2 is actually page 1.
Well, it's got page 2 on this. On
I know
the
what I mean. There are different opens. Mm-hmm. That's actually the first page.
Okay, well, on the top of it, it says page 2. That's why I was referencing page 2. But you're right, it is page 1. And I'm actually just going to talk about some highlights of the changes for this proposed spring budget revision. So this is coming about a month later than usual, and there is an advantage to that because we're really looking very closely at our actual expenditures versus our budgeted expenditures, and we're able to kind of tighten that gap or narrow that gap. And so what you're looking at is pretty much our actual expenditures for fiscal year 14 budget. So the lighter blue column, just so you guys know what happens, is the white column is what we send to the state. So this is actually what we send to the state. The darker blue is the proposed changes that we talked about in the fall. And the yellow column is the fall revision that was adopted. So the light blue is the proposed spring changes. And then the lavender color would be the proposed spring budget. So when we're looking at our anticipated revenues, it's just a small decrease of approximately $14,000. It's pretty immaterial. That's mostly made up from changes in the PERS and TERS and some small adjustments with the state foundation. And I had overestimated our local revenues based on last year's actuals. So those are the kind of the highlights of the changes for our revenues. Our expenditures, the total decrease in expenditures is $7,629, and I'm actually going to go through each of the functions, which are the numbers over on the left-hand side, 100, 200. I'm just going to touch briefly on each one of those and talk about some of the changes. So the total reduction in regular instruction is $135,000, and this decrease is from our sub-costs. And also, I moved the PERS and TERS on behalf amounts to function 300, which is support services students, because that's how we presented it in this upcoming budget, so I just wanted the two to align. We also had a few employees that opted to not take the district's health insurance coverage, since they had coverage from another source, which was a savings to the district. So the majority of the savings in our regular instruction is from our payroll benefits, so just to kind of give you an overview, and from our sub-costs. Similarly, in SPED, which was a decrease of $104,000, that's also sub-costs, and we also had a grant that covered a portion of our health insurance for one of our employees that was paid from the grant. Now we're on to 300, support services students. The reduction of $20,000 is actually the result of not having the nurse position filled for a portion of the school year. This actually would have gone up had we not had that small reduction, because I moved the PERS and TERS on behalf amounts over into that area. So, again, that aligns with this upcoming year's budget, fiscal 15. Let's see. On to 350, which is support services instruction, small increase of $1,689. There's a decrease in benefits because of the health insurance costs that are also related to a grant-funded position and the TERS benefits. And then these funds, basically what I did with this one is they were moved around to fit the needs of the tech department and the library. So rather than reducing their budget, it's more that funds have been shifted within that function. Okay, so now go to 400, which is school admin budget. It's a decrease of $11,759. That's actually to reflect actual costs. And the same thing with 450, the school admin support budget, a reduction of $10,421. That's also to reflect actual costs. Now I'm on to 510, which is district admin, and it's also the school board budget. The decrease is to reflect the actual costs and payroll, and I decreased the professional and technical services. We had budgeted funds for a superintendent search, which we did not use. Small increases in supplies and dues, which have a net decrease of $13,000. Now I'm on to 550.
The $13,000, that's about what we budgeted for the superintendent search.
Exactly. District admin support, that's my budget, that's the finance office. Decrease in admin support is for the actual salaries and payroll benefits. A small increase in our audit fees and staff transportation. An increase in the indirect rate charged to grants for administration. That actually decreases our budget. It works as a negative because it's funds that we basically charge the grants to administer them, so it works as a reduction to my budget. So that was a net decrease of $10,685. The maintenance budget, which is function 600, operations and maintenance, overall decrease in their budget is $41,100. And this is primarily from changes in staffing and the payroll benefits associated with those changes. There were some small increases, or not so small increases, in staff travel, purchase services, and maintenance construction supplies. These maintenance and construction supplies are not associated with the CIP project. Those go to a different fund.
Does this include fuel oil?
Yes.
Down too, isn't it?
It is down. We actually had a mild winter, so our heating fuel costs were down from our initial budget by $71,000. But our electric use has increased by $10,000. So we have a net increase in our energy net decrease in our energy of $61,000. On to 700, which is student activities. This budget had the largest increase in the proposed budget. And we propose to provide $25,000 for equipment into this budget for a new wrestling mat, cheer mat, and other sports-related equipment. With the decrease in substitute costs and the associated payroll benefits, it's hard to really predict what's going to happen from year to year. The last 2 years, our sub costs were very high. We had some long-term sub. We had some people out on illness and Family Medical Leave Act. And it's really hard to predict that. So we're proposing that we take some of those funds that were savings to the school district and purchase some equipment for activities, because activities is usually the last thing to be funded, because we always go with supporting the students with instructional services. So that is built into that budget. And the biggest changes are our transfers to other funds, which totals $365,000. We've projected to increase the transfer to food service to cover salaries, sub costs, and staff travel. There was a lot more staff travel that happened in food service this past year, and sub costs that were associated with it. We also brought back the salad bar, which increased some of our costs, which was fabulous. And transfer to the capital project fund of $50,000 to cover the boiler repair costs. We actually have spent those funds this year, so this is just to transfer into the capital project fund to cover those costs. Transfer to the vehicle replacement fund of $65,000 to cover the vehicle that the board approved, I think it was back in February or January. Covers that plus a little bit more, because there is discussion of needing another vehicle, and Rob can talk about that if you guys have questions. And transferring $170,000 to the food service renovation project fund. One thing that was a surprise with starting at the school district is all the costs that are associated with a capital project before it even is approved by the state. So it's a smart decision to move some funds into that project so that we can make sure that we get it up to par where it, you know, get some of the preliminary work done.
Well, and if you get some of the preliminary work done, you're more likely to get the money too, aren't you?
Yes. Yes. So with this budget revision, our proposed revenues are $9,491,000, and our proposed expenditures are $9,527,000, leaving a fund balance at the end of the year of $945,000. Also with this budget, the Petersburg School District fulfills requirements to spend more than 70% of our budget for direct student instruction at 73%. And our ending fund balance is within the 10% limit.
And this does include the PERS and TERS on behalf, the money that the state supposedly gives us, which they don't give us, that we run through here. I just, for people listening, that makes our budget sound a lot higher than it really is.
There's no money that transfers through the school district at all for the PERS and TERS on behalf, either on the revenue or the expenditure side, but we are required by law to report for it.
And so how much is that again?
Okay. So I have that number.
Okay.
Our TERS on behalf is $1,336,000. And our PERS on behalf is $151,000.
So that's the money that goes through the budget that's
$1.8 million.
In and out.
Yep. Well, actually, it's just not even, there's no funds. It's just needs to be reported on paper. There's no transferring of funds whatsoever.
For your reference, where she was reading from was what is labeled as page 4, lines two and three on the right-hand side, and across goes line 56 to 7.
And also page 18.
And page 18. Okay, there's a couple places it's located, so it's there and it's
on the very back page.
Yeah.
Is pretty easy to. She laid it all out there.
Did you say it was $170,000 for changes to the food service program? Was that today?
No. I hope I didn't say that. Let's see. Let me find the page here.
If I look on page 17, it looks like transfers to food services, $25,000.
An increase of $25,000 to a total of $80,000.
Okay.
Oh, the food service renovation project's $170,000.
Yes.
Yeah, what I thought.
What are we changing for the $170,000?
We have a CIP project to get. Have you ever seen our kitchen, actually, at the school?
No.
Okay.
Tour time.
It's tour time.
It's quite sad.
Okay. Basically, if you want me to respond.
Yeah. He probably has seen it and doesn't realize it. I'm
Dr.
guessing.
Thompson, why don't you talk about that? That would be very helpful.
Basically, what we have is a kitchen that's not a kitchen. It's a warming place. It was put together in the days when heat and serve was a big deal. A lot of processed food, a lot of chemicals in the food. So there's just a couple of ovens, and we, under Carly Wells' leadership, have added a steam pot. But we really need a full-service kitchen, and that's about $1 million project. And so in order to get $1 million project, we have the architects working on it. We have allocated funds through our capital improvement reserve funds to make that happen. We were number 8 on the list for the state this last year out of over 100, which is a pretty good place to be because they usually fund down around 12 or 15 when they fund them. The legislature chose this year to fund 0 capital improvement projects. We are resubmitting again next year the same project and maybe even cleaned up a little bit. And so I really look forward to us receiving that in the near future. But it will become a full-service kitchen, and you really must come see the great things that are done in the kitchen that is not a kitchen.
Okay.
And just to add on to that, our food service program is a model for the rest of the state. I mean, we have a salad bar. We have lots of fresh fruits and vegetables. It's really actually pretty incredible what Carly is able to do with the limited facilities that she has. So.
It's just the cafeteria, right, in the elementary school. Is that correct?
That's basically what exists now.
Yeah, that's the kitchen.
That's it. Correct.
Yeah.
You've been there, I can tell.
Yeah, if you've had lunch with an elementary age kid, you've been in the kitchen.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it is incredible.
Mm-hmm. So when I started, it was called the multi-purpose room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they closed it up, and then that was where people met. And, I mean, it's a multi-purpose room.
Yeah. Yeah. And they also serve meals over in the high school, middle school, but it comes out of that supposed kitchen.
Mm-hmm. It is time for an improvement.
Well, originally, they brought in vans full of frozen dinners, frozen meals, and heated them up in the oven, and that's what it was back a long time ago.
And she's used up all that stuff, program. So we don't have any more of that.
Yeah,
that was
yeah.
commodities. It's all
yeah.
gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I would entertain any questions if you guys have any questions.
The other vehicle question that may be lurking out there is both of our vans are well-worn. The salt weather in Petersburg is hard on vehicles. And so we're looking at replacing or adding to our vans. We often will send a van with teams on the ferry to Sitka, to Juneau, so they can have transportation, A, without having to rent, or B, with having to rely on parents for transportation. And we're finding that as we have increased our participation in sports, we've needed more transportation. Is that pretty accurate? Yeah. Yeah. So that's what we're looking at, is another safe van that can transport our kids.
And when we have our superintendent driving to the end of the road to pick up students that have come on breakaway, we would like him to be in a safe.
We don't like a car that kind of wobbles down
van.
The road. You know?
Her.
Her, yeah.
I don't know if she realizes that's part of
the
superintendent job description. No.
Can I make a comment?
Yes. Sure.
I'm not sure if this is an appropriate time, but are any of the vehicles wheelchair accessible? I don't know that that's necessary right now,
idea.
But I would anticipate it being that we have a wheelchair accessible vehicle
that's
in the next couple of years.
I've gotten Joel into the van before.
Okay.
But that's a great question, because as time passes, we should have one in our fleet.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I would
that's
think wheelchair accessible is almost a necessity,
mm-hmm.
that we have at least one that can do that. I mean, it's
the new food service, the brand new
Ford,
that one could be.
No, it's just a little cargo van.
It is? Okay.
Yeah. No, the wheelchair accessible is a whole other ball game. It's an ad. Yeah, which is fine. We had a good thought. We'll put that into
the.
Oh, one of the buses. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We'd use a bus probably.
Oh, yeah. That's probably adequate. Yeah.
It's a smaller bus or one of our big buses?
Big bus.
Okay.
It's by law they have to come back.
Thank you. I did. Yeah, good point. So we do have the capability, it's just not in our little vans, but
mm-hmm.
come to keep track of, we'll investigate the requirements. Thanks.
Okay, so
that request coming early on, some August, September, to get things rolling, just to prepare you
mm-hmm.
when we get the new budget going and the new superintendent's on board, and I know that Jamie will be advocating for athletics and activities, and I fully expect a van request to come in August,
we
September.
We are very grateful to use, especially with the numerous group housing, getting the kids fed at night when we're staying at the schools. That's huge.
It's needed.
And even if they break down.
That's not good to hear.
Twice to turn it. That's been the.
I got a story.
Anyway.
Okay, can I have a motion to approve the end of year budget revision?
I make a motion to approve the FY 2014 budget revision.
I second it.
Motion made and seconded. Is there more discussion? Thank you, Karen. Are we spending money? Yes, we are.
Well, this is definitely
Sharon?
Megan Lister?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Jean Ellis?
Yes.
Sarah
motion passed? Oh.
Yes.
Oh. Our motion passes 5-0. Whoops.
And if I may, Madam Chair, just a quick comment. Just as I never tire of saying, I've worked in a lot of school districts, and the budget here is as complex as any. And our Director of Finance does a fantastic job of keeping us, A, compliant with the law, B, spending wisely, and C, informed.
Mm-hmm.
So just kudos to Karen Quitzlin.
Thank you. Thank you, Karen. Language arts textbooks and related materials, K-5. Erica, I don't know if you're here though, so you might as well. Would you like to talk to this?
Well, I can.
Yes. So we don't want you to come all the way here and not.
Oh.
So, I don't know if you guys were able to get into any of the virtual...
I didn't actually do it. I made myself a note to do it, and I ran out of time.
Okay.
But.
Well, I was going to bring hard copies of books and all that sort of thing, too, but I can't find them, to be honest. I mean...
They're in a box.
They're in a box. They're in a room. That's in another
room. In a van.
Room, in a van. I don't know. They're somewhere. So, anyway, it falls directly in line with the program that the middle school and high school are using. It's the same publisher, and it's all aligned K-12, which is nice. We've never actually had a program since I've been here or before that's been really aligned K-12, so that's nice. There's a huge amount of online, like you were saying, you know, a lot of really good interactive smart board lessons that are already designed. There's a whole lot of support for differentiation. So it's all there, you know. I mean, whether we use every single piece of it, you know, remains to be seen. There's always more than you really need, but it's all aligned with the Common Core. It's, yeah.
So, and this is a reading
and spelling and right, yes. Mm-hmm.
The English kinds of things.
Yeah, language arts. Mm-hmm. And people on staff really felt like it was in line with, we did a lot of work with the curriculum this year, and so they really felt like it was very much in line with the curriculum work and the new standards. So.
And I know I talked to Erica, and because that we could go online and look it over, I thought that we would be able to approve that at this meeting, because we had that opportunity. Whether we all did it or not, that's
sure
our issue. But you know, I didn't. The other ones came at the board meeting. We
sure
didn't have an opportunity over the weekend to look at them. So,
yeah, exactly.
So I'd like a motion.
Yeah. I make a motion to approve the K-5 Journey by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt 2014 Common Core Series textbooks and related materials.
I second it.
Is there more discussion? Well, it sounds good, like people have really researched this. Mm-hmm. And tied it all together. Mm-hmm. Cheryl? Oh, I just, yeah. No. Mm-hmm. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor of approving the K-5 journey?
Must be a roll call.
Probably roll call, yeah, it's a money thing ultimately. Just like you did for the secondary one.
Okay, and then I'll have, yeah. All in favor of approving the K-5 journey by Houghton Milton Harcourt, 2014 Common Core Series textbooks and related materials? Sharon, would you please call the roll?
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Cheryl Wiles?
Yes.
Dean Ellis?
Yes.
Megan Lister?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Technically, I'm supposed to restate the motion, but I don't always do that.
That's where I was confused.
Yeah. Motion passes 5-0. Thank you. And now we're on disposal of elementary library TVs and DVDs. According to our board policy, when we sell or dispose of books, equipment, supplies, the school board has to take action to do that. Sometimes it seems a little on the silly side, but because of the types of things. These are TVs that people might be interested in, DVDs and VHS players, and they will be available. How do people...
Dan Tate will be back next week, and I'm sure if they call the office, we'll let the media know available.
Okay.
And the reason the district's disposing of them at this point, they're basically, for our purposes, educationally obsolete items. They just either don't work, or the TVs are not compatible with the computer systems we're trying to hook them up to in terms of using them as a monitor, or the smart board, or the projectors, and so it's just time to move on. But they're pretty old stuff.
And they do work.
Yeah.
But
they're old stuff. Obsolete for our purposes. Yeah.
So they're not flat screens?
No, they're not 50-inch flat screen TVs, no.
But they're hardy, too.
Okay, there might be a market for them, and there might not. But okay, I have a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the disposal or sale of the elementary library TVs and DVD VHS players as listed.
A second. Oh, go ahead.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any more discussion? I guess this isn't spending money. This is making money. Okay. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Personnel hires. Recommended motion?
Yeah. In the red folder are the three people you're considering. Adrian Bunton, who is the our recommended hire for the payroll clerk and accounts payable officer. Tyann Jacobson, who is our recommended person for the half-time nurse. And Christina Sargent, who is a recommended person for a community garden...
Sprouts.
Extra coordinator. Contract. Yeah, extra duty contracts. So I'll pass those around. And you can.
Okay, and the hire of the half-time nurse is not a new position. It's a replacement of a position. And the hire of Adrian Bunton is to replace Robin Hagerman,
correct,
who has resigned. And I don't know for sure about Christina Sargent, if that's new, but that's...
It's basically an extra duty contract, so it's not a hire with benefits, and we just wanted to include it so you knew about it. It's a short-term thing. Do you want to address it? It's really an extra duty contract, like...
It's part of the U.S. Forest Service Garden Project, so it's a little extra duty contract to... basically bring kids into the garden, have them work over the summer, and so it's only for, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's only for June, July, maybe part of August. Mm-hmm. So and the kids are harvesting greens from the garden and they're selling it at the market, and just keeping the garden up kept over the summer months, because mm-hmm. it's hard. There's a lot of stuff to do in there, so.
And there are plots
that people can sponsor.
Sweet. Thank you.
Well, and yeah, I think I wanted to make clear to people that we're not hiring additional employees.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, maybe can I just say one more thing?
Yes, Karen? That
you're
would
good.
Be great.
Thank you.
And the proceeds from the sale of the greens and the sponsoring of the garden bed is actually for the sustainability of this project, because we will lose the Forest Service funding in September of 2015. But we obviously want to keep it going. So we have a small account in ASB funds set up called Community Garden, and people, that's where all the funds are going. So whenever we have an educational workshop that we're charging for, like we did with the Seattle Tilt back in March, I think it was, all the proceeds from that go directly into this account for sustainability.
Thank you. Okay, may I have a motion for the first hire on here?
I recommend a motion to approve the personal hire of Tyann Jacobson for the district half-time nurse for 2014-2015.
Is there a second?
Sorry.
Okay, any more discussion? Is this spending money, Sharon? Okay, so the motion is to approve the personnel hire of Tyann Jacobson, district half-time nurse for 2014-15. Sharon, would you please call the roll?
Cheryl Pyle.
Yes.
Jean Ellis.
Yes.
Sarah Palmgren.
Yes.
Jay Lister.
Yes.
Megan Lister.
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Like to have a motion for the next position?
I'll make the motion to approve the personnel hire of Adrian Bunton, accounts payable payroll specialist.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Is there any discussion? Motion is to approve the personnel hire of Adrian Bunton, accounts payable payroll specialist. Sharon, would you please call the roll?
Megan Lister.
Yes.
Jay Lister.
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren.
Yes.
Jean Ellis.
Yes.
Cheryl Foyle.
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. The next motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the extra duty contract for Christina Sargent, Garden Summer Sprouts Coordinator.
I'll second.
Motion been made and seconded. Is there any more discussion? Motion is to approve the extra duty contract for Christina Sargent, Garden Summer Sprouts Coordinator. Sharon, would you please call the roll?
Jay Lister.
Yes.
Megan Lister.
Yes.
Ellis?
Yes.
Cheryl Pyle?
Yes.
Cheryl Holmgren?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Okay, 2014-15 calendar attachment. Oh, the calendar, and then I read the attachment. Anyway, in our packet is the proposed slight change to the calendar. Dr. Rob, would you like to talk to that?
Back when we created the calendar, the state was having difficulties settling on their schedule for the assessment or the testing schedule. And as it turned out, when they finally settled on it, it conflicted with our in-service days. So we are proposing moving the in-service days from the 20th and 21st of April, which is a Monday, Tuesday, to the 16th and 17th of April, just the Thursday, Friday before. So it's the same weekend for parents. It just gets us, there was a conflict with the state that we couldn't have avoided because they hadn't finished their job yet. So we're hoping in the future they're done a little sooner. So that's why. Oh, that's right. They had a lot of kids gone. Yeah.
So it's a good time for the...
Less a good time for the in-service. For kids. Yeah.
Okay, I'd like to... Motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the changes to the 2014-15 calendar.
I'll second that.
Motion been made and seconded. Is there any more discussion? All in favor of approving the changes to the 2014-15 calendar, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Most opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Okay. Middle school and high school student handbook reviews. There's quite a lot in here. I managed to get all the way through the high school handbook, and that's about as far as I got all the way through of. But it was...
Yes, we certainly appreciate any. They really are somewhat of a work in progress, not as far as changing all the time, but just refining them, I think, every year as far as cleaning them up. As I told Gene earlier, I think the Minkoff Middle School Handbook, Principal Bronerman here, did a really nice job and put in a lot of new stuff, but some of the remaining thing from 97 it kind of lingered, so I do feel there's a few redundancies in there, and as we continue to work through it, Mr. Cabral and I have tried to do our best to clean it up, but I know they are always at work, so I think Jean was even saying just a few things she found just small of it may be worded slightly different in one section and another, and we're really happy to hear that, and you can always cut and paste it and shoot it in an email. We're just happy to, like I said, just continue to make them the best that they can be, I guess is the best way to say that.
Well, and that this actually really is the AR, the administrative regulation,
right,
for these the policies that we have that cover some of these areas. And
yeah.
So, I mean, this is informational, I believe.
Yes. We're not changing any board policy, exactly.
But also, if anybody has, I don't know if anybody had time to go through them, but I think that if we do have time to go through them, or if any parents have time to go through them, and have particular things that they would like. Sometimes you just notice things like it says city when it should say borough.
Right,
and
exactly.
So I think the more eyes that are looking at it, the better. It's just helpful.
Yeah.
And I know Rick has a very, very busy schedule, probably doesn't have time to look through to see if it says city or borough.
And that's something I just don't think about that. And always
so it's
work
helpful to have someone else looking at it, I think.
Yeah, and they're kind of passed on from principal to principal in a way, per building, and so it's someone else's work that we kind of inherit, and of course we read through it often, but to go through with fine-tooth comb is, we don't usually do it that often, so always appreciate the look at it. They're always on the website, one's updated, and these are, you saw the one I sent you, had some highlights, and those are different than they were in the previous handbook, but they're always on the website, accessible on both the high school and the middle school site. Our students at the beginning of each year, just right away, one of the first things we do is they're responsible for everything in it, and so of course we make that presentable to them. There is a signature page, and then I always give each teacher's a short lesson plan, knowing that you can't walk word by word, with a student, it would take the entire day. So I give them a short lesson plan of, hey, make sure you let them know, you have to be in school the day before you leave on a trip, just to remind them some of the real high points, remind them, the students, of course, to peruse through it themselves, and then, of course, any changes, and then the students sign that and turn them in every year, both in the middle school and the high school separately, so... So when the teachers are up to date, hopefully I am, and then the students are as well.
Okay, and then we're going to talk later about, I guess, a couple of the policies you're looking at making some changes, not policies, but the AARs you're making some changes to. Are we discussing
yes.
that right now?
I think we are, because they are changed in the handbook because we want to be ready at the beginning of the year, and we're not changing board policy, but it is a change to AR. So and I'll roll through the changes real quick. There's AR-5121 is the bigger one, and we were looking at that originally. 5121 will be the first one, because then once we finish that, it'll lead into 5127, if that's all right.
Okay, that's fine.
We had two things that were wrong, and to be honest, we've been doing it probably wrong or as opposed to the administrative regulation. The first one is we use incompletes quite a bit at Mitkoff Middle School, and the goal of that is a student's doing some work, and then they don't turn in some of their what they call products, and instead of just saying, well, that's it, you get a zero, they've said, well, we'll put an incomplete, and we can leave it incomplete for a couple weeks, and they require students to come in after school or lunch to get these made up, and I think it's a pretty good system. Ms. Grawl can answer questions about that as well. But the teachers do a really nice job, because the end goal, of course, is for them to learn the material, not to use grades as a penalty, but to do the best they can. There are times when the students will only do some of the incompletes and then maybe just not do all of it. And so the policy said that any incompletes for the high school and the middle school, the AR said it had to be an F if they did not complete all of the work. Well, we haven't been doing that. A kid may have a C and will do some incomplete work, may get up to a B, maybe not do all of it, and we've given them the grade that they earned prior to the incomplete, as opposed to saying, well, it has to go straight to an F. I think I can see maybe from a high school point of view sometimes why the incomplete going straight to an F may mean that they were supposed to finish the class and they didn't. But we have been giving the kids the grade they've earned, and we're going to make that change in the handbook that incompletes will go to what they earned as opposed to half being required to go to an F. It could be an F if they earned an F, but it's usually not the case.
Okay, and this is middle school and high school?
That'll be middle school and high school, yeah, because it was in the AR, which is obviously all-encompassing. Mm-hmm. For grades, I think is it K through 3 that has different grading, and then it goes to letter grades.
Yeah,
so anything above that had to have an incomplete was one of those, and that was a policy that covered. So it would have covered 4 through 12.
Well, and one of the things that we're going to talk about at some point during this meeting is the difference between the AR and the board policy. And the board policy is a broader thing, and the ARs are actually done by the administration. They're actually administrative regulations. We can look at them. They're not really something we micromanage. It's more something that's done by the administration to represent what we put out in the broader policy.
Yeah. And this hopefully for the public and the school board and everybody, this is certainly not me in a chair in a closed room just kind of with my pen deciding what to change. This is all these things done by the teaching staff. They're well aware of them. Like I said, they've been doing this incompletes actually probably for a couple of years, and just we realized, oh, no, it says this. So all of these have gone through committees, anything we're talking about today. So the second one that we've been doing incorrectly or against the AR is that in the high school, when kids sign up for a class, they have 2 weeks to change their mind. They could get into, physics class and realize, whoa, I'm over my head, or this is not what I was looking for. And they have 2 weeks, in our handbook it said that, probably since I've been here. And that's been a good window, and that's how it is in college, I believe, withdrawal, fail, that kind of stuff, if you do it afterwards. And looking at our handbook, the AR allowed 6 weeks to change classes. And that's very generous, but the problem is there, if a kid gets into a wood shop and says, boy, you know what, this isn't for me, I'm going to take, chemistry now. Yeah, getting in, 5 weeks into a chemistry class, you're pretty much so far behind you can't be successful. So I hope that makes common sense. I don't know where the 6 week came from, but we're sticking with 2 weeks, and that's a change that is to the AR there.
So the AR now will say that they can withdraw up to 2 weeks, but
yes,
not
without penalty.
Six
yeah.
weeks.
And if they do get 4 weeks in now, and they say, well, forget it, I just am not going to take physics anymore, it is still a withdrawal fail. It's not just a straight F, but it's a W/F, which is also pretty consistent with even colleges and other high schools. So they can still do that. And that doesn't happen very often, which is good. That's good for kids. But.
Well, I would think that within 2 weeks, most students would be able to make up their mind about
that.
Yeah,
it seems reasonable. And again, obviously, Council Edger and I have talked quite a bit, and the staff, as we've been doing it this way. So I think that's the way to go.
Okay, so you highlighted the things that are changing in this.
Yes. Probably the more, I don't want to say controversial, because I was actually surprised, we're moving forward with our AP class grading, and this is a little bit different. Right now, students who take an advanced placement class, we have advanced placement English, advanced placement biology, and advanced placement calculus are the three classes that we do offer. The policy does say advanced placement and IB, which is International Baccalaureate, does that sound right? And we do not offer those type of programs here. We offer advanced placement, which are very similar. and the idea for students to earn college credit, but they can also be graded on a 5.0 scale as opposed to a 4.0 scale, and that's where you get a weighted GPA, where you may see sometimes in the paper some students may say 4.1 GPA, which doesn't make sense unless you have a weighted grading scale. And so our policy has allowed that as long as they got a 3 or better on the advanced placement exam. We are going to change that, or we are, again, bringing this before you too, to say we'd like to change that back to saying that just by taking an AP class, they can use the 5.0 scale. And the reason is we really want to encourage more students to take an AP class, because we've every year have kids say, well, I really want to take AP Calculus, but I'll take, you know, Math Connections or something, because that's going to be easier, and it's going to be a lot easier, and I want to keep my GPA because I'm going to be salutatorian or something. That happens every year. And this will give them a little bit of room. A B in an AP class is the same as an A in a non-AP class, so that's nice for their grade point average. The other problem was that students who take, you don't take the test until April, and you don't get the scores back till the end of May. So, and we determine class rank, which we're getting to, back in January. So students may have scored a 3 on the test, and we don't know that until we're deciding all the... It was just very problematic. So we're going to change it to, if a kid signs up and takes an AP class and completes it in good standing, their grade point out can be weighted on a 5.0 scale. And we're just taking the piece about having to have a 3 or better on the test out of there.
And it's not common in school districts to tie the grade to an external test.
Right.
This is what we're moving to is,
yeah,
we've discovered is more common.
Yeah,
from whatever
right.
the past, we don't know where that came from. But
and we ran this through the great Sue Harden. I told her to name drop, and she said, "Oh, I'll say they're probably sick of hearing my name." But Emma Ward and Jill Lenhard, Tom Thompson, and Joni Johnson are all aware of the change and supportive of it. So all of our AP teachers and people have taught AP. So, but that will also change our class rank determination. That's where we get into Administrative Regulation 5127, where it has also said that we will not use a weighted GPA in determining class rank, meaning who would be the valedictorian and the salutatorian and the historian, and we do want to change that and say, no, we are going to use this weighted GPA to determine those because the kids who take the AP classes should be, they've earned something and we don't want to take it away from them.
Well, and there's some place that said that we were going to go to that for 2012 by the year of the graduates in the class of 2012.
Right. It did say something in the AR. In AR 5121, I think it said that.
Yeah. And so... Because, actually, I said, this is where I came in. I have a letter that I wrote in September of 2007, before I was even on the board this time, and I had gone to the meeting where they were discussing this, allowing the AP classes, the 5 credits, to go toward the valedictorian. There were some people that felt very strongly that their students hadn't had enough time to plan ahead for what kind of classes they wanted to take, to be able to take AP classes to get those 5s, to be able to compete to be valedictorian. And so at that point in time, they didn't change it. And I didn't take it on once I got on the school board, even though I agree with the idea.
Yeah.
I think this is an academic, and it's an academic reward. And by taking AP classes, those are our higher academic students that then will receive an academic reward.
Yeah.
And again, this is aligned with
yes.
School District USA.
It is, yes. This is more common.
Pretty much what happens everywhere.
But there might be some people that are concerned about it because we have been talking about it for several years now. It isn't something that hasn't been discussed.
Yes.
Good point.
Yes. We don't foresee any conflicts coming with, you know, class rank for the next year. We'd be happy to discuss that if something were to come up and a parent were to say, well, we just changed it this year and it could change. We haven't, Counselor Archer and I looked at it. I don't see anything, but if something comes up, we're happy to talk to families and stuff about it. Obviously, we want to do it over the summer so we can begin the school year with this new policy so kids can, they still have time to change classes and maybe this few kids may want to get into an AP class now, so.
Well, and there are a few notations in here on passing the HSGQE,
yes,
which
they
no longer have to do.
So I wondered about that as well, and I left them alone because I haven't heard the final, I don't know if it's a blessing or a wand or whatever happens that makes all the H, because in reality we have a few students from at least my short 5 years here that did not get a diploma for not passing the test. So at some point, with the new superintendent, we'll have to start talking and contacting families and granting those diplomas, and I'm not sure what that process looks like yet.
If I might chime in, many
please.
School districts are struggling with that and trying to go back and find those students, and we've begun the process Yeah. It's a little cumbersome. We had no idea the law was going to change. We're glad it did. I think it's a good move, frankly. But they will be able to get diplomas, and that language will need to be changed. The state has, in fact, the state board just in the May meeting, maybe the June meeting, did away with the HSGQE, so it would not have been appropriate before that meeting. So now it is appropriate to move that direction. And yes, the incoming superintendent will be happy to work with you on that.
That's kind of what we foresaw.
Oh, and anybody out there that knows anyone that didn't get a diploma because of the HSGQE, have those people contact the school.
Yeah, that's great. I have two names, you know, right, obviously I'm going to say them, but I have two names right on top of my head, and I'm very excited when we get to that point to contact them and reward those students. They both deserve it.
And it won't be a lift. You can't do it until July 1st.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Yes, exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Just by kind of
left
it alone. Call after July 1st.
Yes. I'll do it.
The new superintendent starts.
New superintendent works out nice.
Very convenient. But yes, then we wondered, do we take that out of the book? And we didn't yet, or maybe we should, but take that out of the AR as well. Yeah, because that's not part of the game. But then they are adding in the ACT, SAT, or work keys, and they haven't set a minimum yet, but I was under the impression they will set a minimum score.
My understanding is that they just have to take...
I think that's what it is right now, but then, yeah, anyway.
I don't know.
For we'll a little bit of talk.
It doesn't sound, from the things I've read, like there is any minimum score.
Okay.
It's a sort of
just
test that we've been taking for a while.
Yes.
And they're going to use those, but they're not... It's SAT, ACT...
Or work keys, yes.
Work keys.
Yeah. So we need to add that into an hour policy, though. The kids at least have to take that to get a diploma, it sounds like. So lots of changes.
Is the state going to pay for that?
Yes.
I believe that they will.
Really?
Which is great. We were actually looking at providing the ACT for all students, and we're getting some bumps along the road, but really believe that's a great move to kind of show that your district is making kids college career ready. So.
Yeah.
And I think it's cheaper than the other exam we
have. That's right. Probably is.
Yeah, we're moving that direction, aren't we?
Yes, we are. We're just trying to get through everything. And still really haven't heard from the state, so we're hoping. I'm sure they're still trying to get everything aligned as well. So, great.
Okay, does anybody else have any questions based on looking over the handbooks that we had attached in our pulse, in our books? To our agenda?
But again, seeing anything, or as you're digging through them, or you hear something, please just shoot an email, give me a call. We'd love to continue just to make those handbooks better and better.
Yeah, and I will give you the little notes I have on the high school. I haven't gotten through the middle school yet. Okay. I think we're down to board policy review. Tab 12, that's my little note about for me. So we have board policy 6145A and A with AR, and board policy 513143. And Cheryl File asked last time about talking about those, and I think her concerns might have more to do with the AR than the policy itself, but I'm not sure.
My question. Well, in one handbook it says AR, and then the other one it says BP, so I'm wondering, what is it?
It would be both of them.
In the activities program it says coach and sponsor handbook, it says AR. I just noticed it, that's why I'm asking. And then the employee handbook, it says BP, and it's the same thing.
Did we have an AR and a BP, 6145?
Yeah,
and they're both in our packet today.
Yes, they are. The AR supports that particular. The BP 6145 and the AR 6145, which is the support document for.
Okay.
Yeah, I know it's.
I mean, it's the exact same thing. That's why I was confused.
No, they're not. A BP 6145 is. They're both in our packets today.
Well, basically the same thing.
AR is how they implement the board pack, the board policy. Board policy is BP 6145. The AR is how they implement it. Did you have an opportunity to look it over there?
Okay.
Did you have any particular questions?
Yeah.
Okay. The AR isn't us, it's administration, but the BP is our portion, so...
Well, my concern was doing grades in at mid-quarter or end of quarter, and then basically they have to wait until 4 weeks to get their grades checked again for traveling.
Okay, so where is that? Is that in the AR?
It's in both of them. You can look at either one.
Okay, let me see. Okay, yeah. Where's the students with
it says
F
eligibility. On, well, in the AR, it's on page 4.
And so where is it?
It says, Petersburg School District additionally requires that students participating in interscholastic athletic, extracurricular, or co-curricular activity must attain grades C or better in all courses as reported on the most recent mid-quarter end-of-quarter grade. Report to be eligible for competition or travel. And then it says, a student determined ineligible at the end of the fourth quarter, well, that's the last fourth quarter. My concern was, we have such short seasons. You have a quarter grade. They don't get checked for another 4 weeks. Then why go to why? I mean, it says you can still go to practice. But what most kids, they try to maintain it so they can. But when they do so much traveling, they do get behind. What's their motivation to get their grade back up after 4 weeks of not? Am I making myself clear?
Okay, so they have to have an F or a D, two Ds. What do they have to happen? An F.
Yes.
Okay.
Or more than one D.
Or more than one D. Okay, so two Ds or an F, then they at the midterm test checking time.
If they get at mid quarter, they have an F.
Okay.
At mid quarter they have an F. Mm-hmm. They don't get their grades checked for another four until another mid-quarter grade check. 4 weeks is my understanding, right?
That's correct.
That's a long time.
And I know because
I thought, let's use an example of a kid getting an MIP, and he or she goes through the motions, their first infraction, and they jump through all the hoops that they need to do. It can actually be shortened to 15 days instead of a 30-day suspension. So a drinking infraction can potentially be shorter than an academic slip. Which, once I sat down and read everything, really bothered me.
But like Rick said, for a first offense.
Yes, you're right.
But my concern was, you know, when you have a kid and they try, and then they get this F, and they can't participate for 4 weeks. Right. And then, hey, that sport's over in 4 weeks. You know, I just...
Yeah. Okay, and I know one of the concerns that it is very clear in AASA and in our policy that students with any F grades do not meet eligibility requirements.
Yeah.
And I think the reason for that is that we're thinking that because it's not that easy to get an F, you have to not perform. And if we want them to have extra time to put into this program that's obviously they're having problems with, so I always thought that the reason for them not being eligible was not the same as for the drug and alcohol, mm-hmm. which was that the main reason for it was to allow them time mm-hmm. to bring the grade up, because we don't, right. you know, they're traveling, they're spending time at the sport, and obviously they need, or apparently they need more time to bring their grade up to where it should be, which is the reason, I think, for this. And also, there was something to do with checking the grades every 2 weeks, got a little more problematic for the teachers.
That would be the tricky part, and I'm just, this is more information. I'm certainly not saying a no or a yes to saying we want to go forward. This, like we said, the middle school does check every 2 weeks. The state just says that we have to set up when we check grades for everybody, and then we have to stick by that calendar determining eligibility for athletics. So our system is obviously built up with quarters and then mid-quarters every 4 weeks, and so it's set up on this kind of continuing 4 week, and then you hit a semester break, and that's just the way our grading system is set up. So it is certainly possible to do that, but it would just take a lot of discussion and working, because we'd have to change the way we check grades, because we couldn't say, well, all the athletes were going to check your grades, but so teachers would have to prepare grades, which, again, could be done. The middle school doesn't. So that's the one more difficult part, though. It isn't as much as saying, well, we'll just have the athletes check every 2 weeks. We would have to change our grading procedures.
I'm just thinking for that. I mean, what if there's, like, say there's three kids
mm-hmm.
and they're ineligible.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you have to check everyone's grades? Why can't you just check those three kids' grades at 2 weeks?
I think it has to do with what ASAA
That's
says.
Our understanding, and we could be said, my understanding is that it has to be the schools, because we wouldn't do this, but some coaches could say, well, you know, just check his grades. He's got it fixed tomorrow. Let's go play a football game or whatever, you know.
Okay.
And so we do have to say we're going to check everybody's grades to try to not make them special cases. That makes sense. And that's my understanding from the state. It's got to be a regular schedule. But again, it could happen. I'm not saying a no or yes. I'm just saying why we're where we are now.
Okay. I do agree that
there's been... There's probably several cases of students where that, you know, are working pretty hard, especially freshmen, find themselves in a hole, make some mistake. I'm not pointing to say any names, but, you know, find themselves in a tough spot. And then, wow, now I'm not ineligible for 4 weeks. If you're talking cross country, that's most of the season, you know, especially.
Well, especially when a kid maybe does get their grade back up in the middle of that 4 weeks, and yet they're still considered ineligible.
Yeah.
And that, I think that's the frustrating part. Or, you know, I remember several years back, that happened to my daughter in middle school, and then it was waiting for something to be posted that had been handed in 2 weeks before that.
Sure.
That had not been graded and posted. So that was another difficulty, is waiting for something that we felt should have been graded by then. And so I don't know if that's even an issue now, especially with everything being online. It's should be easier to check.
Right.
Do a grade check, because you would be checking online instead
check,
of manual. But.
And are the Fs, I wonder if they're aligning with the incompletes that you just talked about?
No, it's not usually because of that.
Okay.
And we can give an incomplete sometimes if a student is close or it's a couple of things out. They cannot travel with an incomplete. So an incomplete is in a way like an F, but it can change within... an incomplete can't last longer than 2 weeks by our policy.
Okay.
They could. So we've done that with kids and say, well, you have an incomplete because you were close and you may be ineligible just for... until you get it up, and then it can be grade changed. And then once it becomes... so you're better than they are eligible. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I understand it more now. Thank you.
No, I hope it was helpful. But again, it wasn't a shot down to the two-week thing. I think that's something, a discussion, especially if more people, you found us some kind of an uproar, the board would really like to look into that. I think it could be a discussion topic, but it would be system-wide. It couldn't just be activities kids.
Okay, so I didn't,
I wondered about that. I thought it could be just those students, but I can understand why they wouldn't want to do that, because then the football coach would start pressuring. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm using it's easy to talk about football coach because we don't have one here, so we're not
talking
about anybody.
That's why I use the football coach.
American or football,
that is why I use the football coach.
Yes,
Jay, did you have a question?
Well, I just thought it might be something we're looking into, because we're trying to motivate these kids to do better. And if they get their grade up and then they know they can play again in 2 weeks, that might motivate them to really work on their grades, where if they know they're lost their season anyway, they have no motivation to try to improve them. So it'd be nice to help as many as we can, even if it's one or two kids.
Yeah.
That might be a good time to talk about how parents can log into PowerSchool and check their kids' grades.
I am not the expert on PowerSchool, but you said with it being online, it's really much more
fun. But who wants to talk about PowerSchool?
It's very easy to check your kids' grades.
It is very easy. And if they've handed homework in.
Yeah, you can even see there's an app now? Oh,
nice.
Next. Fourth grade, right?
There is an, oh my.
Okay, so parents have an opportunity to log in and check their students' grades on an ongoing basis, so they won't be surprised, possibly, at midterm check. They might have an opportunity to get there ahead of time. And Cheryl?
And if people have questions about it, they go to... About this
PowerSchool or policy?
The policy, if they are
principal or the athletic director.
Okay. I mean, just so if someone's like, hey, you know, I've been thinking about that too.
Yeah.
If they, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, because it's written by those people, so if they hear concerns from the public, that would be helpful.
And the coaches know when those grade checks are coming, so I'm sure they are reiterating, get your grades up by those dates.
Yeah.
To piggyback on what Rick said, it's important to remember that we are part of an entire state system. and there are rules we have to follow that are there that really Anchorage, the big guys with the big sports and the, you know, whatever the sport, I think that point about pressuring a teacher to get a kid's grade up at a particular time, I saw that happen in other districts I've been in. And so this nice to have that protection that this is the way it is, and this is the way we have to do it. So it kind of prevents that political pressure thing. Mm-hmm.
And we actually have we do check the midterm. The way the ASAA thing is written, we could just do it every 9 weeks.
Because
we don't have to do it every 4, so this actually is a little bit better. But
anyway, good question. Good clarification.
Okay, thank you for bringing that to our attention. Okay, additional comments from board members. My additional comment is that this is Rob Thomason's last meeting with us, and we have chocolate cake afterwards.
We're going to get a rush from the public.
Yes, anybody wants to come in and have a little piece, there's enough of us here, it might be gone.
It's a sliver.
Cheryl.
We didn't talk about the other one.
The 5131 harassment, intimidation,
forgot that one. Okay. BP 5131.43, harassment, intimidation. Okay, the board policy, and then the AR is also included in here.
I guess when I did it, I mostly wanted to be reviewed, and I want parents and kids to know that if something happens, to say something.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you're, if I'm on the school board, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if your parent's a teacher. It doesn't matter if the kid's bullying you as the parents.
I agree.
Kid's teacher, sorry. If the kid has a teacher or an administrator, say something. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
If you want it to stop, you have to say something. People can't do anything unless you say something. That's all I have to say.
And just you notice it includes online. It's really great for parents to realize that I would assume it's happening in all forms. I assume the majority of it is online or social media.
So intimidation over social media.
Any kind.
And if you if you have a concern about that, let the school district know.
Yeah, don't be afraid. Do it, because
we can't change it.
We can't change it unless you say something.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. Thank you for bringing that to our attention.
Okay, Dean.
Okay.
Take it away. No.
Okay. Are there any more comments?
Yes, one more.
For all those listening, all your activities paperwork is online at the high school webpage as well as the middle school webpage. They all have their own little sections of activities where all your physical forms, your tobacco, alcohol, drug forms, your concussion forms, all of those updated for the 2014-15 year. Please try and get those physicals over the summer so that we are ready to rock and roll as soon as school starts, because there's only 44 days left before cross country starts and the countdown begins. And then all of our fall activities for the high school through wrestling are online. All their schedules are updated, as well as the middle school projected activity schedule is also on the middle school section of the webpage. So everything is there. Try to get those physicals knocked out before we start August 4th. Yes, if you say it's a sports physical for the school, it is it's a discounted price. It's $20 at the medical center. Anytime. As long as you say it's a sports physical and bring in those forms that are online there. All the directions are on there on the front page of what you have to do for each form and how many times you have to fill out each form. There's some forms you need to do 27 times a year. But it's all good.
If you're doing a kindergarten physical, can you say it's a sports physical?
That's what I was just thinking.
I'm not sure if it's the same paperwork, though. They might be different. Very different.
Nice try, huh?
That was a good one.
You could argue that kindergarten a sport.
Yes, it is a sport.
When you're learning to keep your hands to yourself and not beat up your neighbor.
Yes, that is true. Okay, that's it. Thank you.
Sit in your chair. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, additional comments. Future agenda items.
Sounds like we had our future agenda item. Did we have something you were waving? I guess it wouldn't be an agenda item. Maybe just a review of what the teacher work day and tech boot camp, but that could just be under a report, I guess. So.
Well, and that'll actually be under future dates.
Yeah, so
we can discuss it under there. Okay, ready for a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn.
I second.
Motion made and seconded to adjourn. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Invited to have cake.
Yes.